Good morning, and welcome to the first and only local radio program specifically designed for the baby boomer generation. Let's Talk Boomers. Each week, your host, Rebecca Imholz, features guests, topics, trends, and events that are of interest to you, the baby boomers. Let's Talk Boomers is presented locally by Rick Durkee and the Coastal Financial Planning Group, Deborah Whitfield, 55-plus real estate with Coldwell Banker United Realtors, and Kelly Williams of All Care Living Services. And now, your host, Rebecca Imholz.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Let's Talk Boomers. I'm your host, Rebecca Imholz. On last week's show, we talked with Cheryl Moniz of the ARC and their major fundraiser, Dancing with the Stars. It takes place next Saturday, so you still have time to buy tickets. And the proceeds go for a wonderful, wonderful cause. It's to help support respite care for people who are taking care of folks with Alzheimer's. So to find out more information and to get some tickets, just go to letstalkboomers.com. And since we're on the topic of dancing, but maybe we don't want to dance ourselves, check out the Boogie Woogie Bugle Gals this Tuesday, March 10th at 7 p.m. at the 34 West Theater at 200 Meeting Street. It's a bubbly musical comedy about life, love, and bombshells reminiscent of the USO tours. Tickets are $25. Just go to 34west.org, and that's the numbers, 34west.org. And I always love this time of year when we have the various annual tea rooms around the area to help support various causes. There is a great one coming up in Somerville. It's at St. Paul's in Somerville. It goes on for the next 2 weeks from 11:30 to 2 p.m. each weekday. There will be great low country cuisine, including tomato pie. I wish I could make a good tomato pie, so I'll have to check out theirs. There's also going to be some she crab soup and lots of low country delights. If you want to go as a large group, which I think is a really, really good idea and a lot of fun, you just need to make reservations. Just visit stpaulssomerville.org or call 873-1991. Again, that number is 873-1991. And it is St. Patrick's Day month, so here's a couple of Irish-themed events to consider. Starting March the 12th through basically the end of March the 29th, the South of Broadway Theater on Montague Avenue in North Charleston is performing various Irish classic plays. Tickets are $20, and for more information, you just need to go to southofbroadway.com or call 745-0317. And the local St. Patrick's Day celebrations continue March 15th at 4 p.m. at the Circular Congregational Church downtown. Charleston's beloved Celtic Fiddling Ensemble and the Taylor Festival Choir is going to perform together. So there's going to be some lively gigs, reels, and ballads for a celebration of this wonderful Irish holiday. Tickets start at $10. Just go to taylormusicgroup.net. And that's Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, musicgroup.net. And boomers, in order to take advantage of these great events, we do need to do some planning, especially if we want to do all of the events. Well, as we age, we also need to do some planning so we can age in place. But what exactly does that mean? We think it means that we want to try to stay in our home or a place of residence because it's probably less expensive and more desirable. All right, but what are some resources? And again, how do we plan? And who can we trust? Well, today's guest is Barbara Franklin. She's well known in the community, and she's chair of the National Aging in Place Council Greater Charleston Chapter. So you definitely want to stay tuned. This is Let's Talk Boomers, presented locally by Rick Durkee and his team at the Coastal Financial Planning Group, Deborah Whitfield, 55-plus realtor, senior real estate specialist with Caldwell Banker United Realtors, and Kelly Williams of All Care Living Services. I'm your host, Rebecca Imholz, and we'll be right back.
Let's Talk Boomers is presented locally by Rick Durkee and the Coastal Financial Planning Group, Deborah Whitfield, 55-plus real estate with Coldwell Banker United Realtors, and Kelly Williams of All Care Living Services.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Rebecca Imholz. Well, as I mentioned before the break, we boomers, we want to stay as long as possible in our homes, right? Our place of residence. It's called aging in place. We think it's probably less expensive than assisted living, but in order to do that, we do need to know about resources to help us do that. And we need to know, more importantly, how to find them. So I'm so glad that Let's Talk Boomers today has as our guest, Barbara Franklin, chair of the National Aging in Place Council for the Greater Charleston Chapter. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi, Rebecca. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you again, Barbara, for being here. I've known you for a number of years now and really appreciate the commitment that you have made to Charleston and our community to help people find these aging in place resources. So let's talk about that. What does it mean to age in place?
Well, it's a simple term, but it is a big idea, and it's one that is really gaining traction around the nation. There's a very strong national movement, and in simplest terms, I like to say that it means staying where you are most comfortable. But as circumstances change, as they typically do over time, it means being able to access resources to help you do that and to assist you.
Okay, so you just said that aging in place has become a movement. When did this movement start happening in our area?
Well, in our area, it started about 2003. A group of us senior service professionals were hearing over and over again this very strong theme, people wanting to stay safe and comfortable and independent in their residence. They didn't necessarily want to go to a facility unless it was necessary. And we began to see studies from AARP and other organizations that were documenting that fact. So we brought together senior service professionals that we knew of who were willing to support that mission and to bring together resources.
And what are some of these senior service type of professionals?
Well, they really vary, and that's the fascinating thing, because it can be everything from home care agencies, home health care agencies, it can be geriatric care managers, it can be hearing care professionals, it can be senior real estate specialists, it can be different types of physician services, even facilities where aging in place is possible, continuing care retirement communities, and then just a whole host of financial and legal services that are a very important part of the planning process, and supportive relationships that can really help a person prevent isolation, depression, getting them involved in the community with so many of the kinds of things that you were talking about in the earlier part of the show.
Mm-hmm. So it's financial, it's emotional support, it's helping people decide where they should live. So it really is quite a number of resources, and I guess that's what you mean in sort of a mission statement, or what I've seen on some of the banners when you've done some exhibits, I guess, at some of the different events around town. I see a lot, sometimes all you need is the right connection. Can you expand on that?
You're right, Rebecca. We've used that as our mantra for a number of years now, because when a person is trying to plan for aging in place, which we strongly advocate, of course, or if they're caught in a caregiving situation, and nowadays we see the sandwich generation, people trying to take care of their kids and their parents at the same time, if they're caught in the middle of it, where do they turn? And, you know, it used to be that you would look in the phone book, the Yellow Pages. Nowadays, a person could Google or ask Siri. There are a number of ways you could find information. But then again, you're looking at a listing. And how do you discern the viability and reliability of that information? So I think what is unique about our chapter is that we've brought together for-profit companies, nonprofit agencies, the Medical University, the College of Charleston, all of us under that one umbrella and dedicated to the mission. And we brought it together in one source under one umbrella that a family or a caregiver or an individual could turn to. That's what's really unique, I think.
So the mission is to support people so they can age in place independently, comfortably, and safely. You've brought together some resources, healthcare, housing. How do you tell the community about these resources?
Well, that's one of our most important initiatives. One of our five initiatives is community education. And I would say over the last 13 years, we've been out and about extensively to church groups, senior groups, women's groups, fortunately on programs like this, radio, television, any opportunity we have to tell that message, let people know that there is a place to turn to. Once a year, in fact, in October, we celebrate National Aging in Place Week. It's celebrated nationally, and we've picked up the ball here locally. And we love that opportunity to really focus the spotlight on aging in place and really do some very special programs at that time of year.
What are some of the special programs that you do during that week?
Well, one that I was very excited about last year, we honored people in our community who really exemplify this ability to age in place successfully, and we called it Gifts of Aging. And we actually had 22 people who were nominated by our members, everything from a Mount Pleasant City Council, Mount Pleasant Councilwoman, to hospice volunteers, to a woman who started a village community, and many others who just were outstanding examples of aging in place. And we were able to lift them up, honor them, put them out in front of the community, and say, look, here's what it can be like if you plan ahead and if you know how to access resources. So it was a great deal of fun.
And I have attended those events. You're right. They are a lot of fun, and they're always a great way to learn to think outside the box of ways to be successful in aging in place. Tell our listeners about the villages concept. That's something that has very, very much intrigued me.
It intrigues all of us, Rebecca, and it was a program that we conducted at one of our Aging in Place chapter meetings last year because we wanted our members to know about it. It was a trend that I first heard about at a national conference and really wanted to see if it was viable for our area. Essentially, it started in about 2003 in Massachusetts in an area of Boston called Beacon Hill. And it was a group of people who lived there who said, you know, we don't think we really want to go to a retirement community. What can we do on a grassroots level, helping each other to stay in our residence? What could we do together? And so 12 years later, Beacon Hill Village is a model that about 120 other villages have followed around the country. And it really, they can vary in their arrangement, but they all seem to involve volunteer activities, professional services that could be utilized, and just a social and social component and connectedness of a group of people who want to help and support each other, kind of the way it used to be years ago.
But we tend to come home, park our cars in our garages, if we can fit them in, hopefully, and we go in our house and we really don't get to know our neighbors as well.
Exactly. This is a deliberate attempt to pull together and bring together resources. In fact, most villages, from the research I've done so far, start with that social component. A couple that we know in North Carolina who started a village said theirs started with a supper club. Hmm. People got to know each other, like each other, trust each other. And then, you know, one of them went to the hospital after very serious illness, came home, and they said, what can we do to help her? And that sort of took off from there with the idea that there are definitely ways we can help each other if we just look for it. You know, walking the dog, bringing a meal, driving someone somewhere. Somebody has good skills with their computer. Maybe I can help them. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting idea. It takes a lot of passion and a group of dedicated people to really to pull it off. I'm glad to say, though, that here in the Charleston area, we see two or three groups that are exploring a village. And I think Charleston is really ripe for this sort of thing.
So when these folks get together, it's not that they have to think, well, I have to give away my services or volunteer. It could be also You're willing to pay for the service, but you don't know where to find it.
Exactly. Yes, and in many cases they negotiate with service providers for reduced fees, and they look for vetted service providers so that they can assure the members of their village that the provider is someone who's met their standards, probably has a background check, a criminal background check, and has references and so on. So it's something that people can trust and feel better about.
Well, now, the Greater Charleston chapter of the National Aging in Place Council has also gone through a self-vetting process. Tell our listeners about that to become a member.
That's right, Rebecca. That was one of the changes that we had to make as we shifted to the chapter, that in addition to paying membership fees, which our members weren't used to doing, they had to submit, if they didn't already have one, a background check, and will have to submit one every 3 years. We really think it's important in terms of working potentially with villages, or just the fact that we are in people's homes, we are advising them on financial matters. We need to have that, that real strong evidence of reliability and credibility.
And so how can our listeners find where these resources are?
Well, there's an excellent website that's maintained by the National Aging in Place Council in Washington, D.C., and it's www.ageinplace.org. Very easy to remember.
Oh, that is very easy.
Right, and when you go there, you see all the chapters from around the country. It lists Greater Charleston, and you can see all the members of our chapter that offer services, and you can read lots of articles and see a lot of other general information. The thing I'm most pleased with at the national website, Rebecca, is the emphasis on planning. And there's a very important tool there called Act 3, Your Plan for Aging in Place, that any of your listeners can access. They can work through this 15 or 20 page document, answer a lot of questions to help them gain their own sense of where they stand with regard to aging in place now or in the future, and what resources they have at their disposal now or may need later.
So, listeners, that website again is ageinplace.org. It sounds like there are resources listed, but there is a tool.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. That's really awesome. Now, Barbara, your career has been as a long-term care specialist. You're very respected in the Charleston area with your business, Franklin Funding. Can you tell our listeners how your professional experience in the financial world and long-term care planning has prepared you for this current role that you have taken on?
I think it really was the genesis for it all, Rebecca, because for 25 years I've been talking to people about long-term care planning. It's something people would rather not think about, but the reality is it can affect a very high percentage of us to one degree or another. So I'm used to talking to people about planning for something that they would rather not think about. And, you know, we know that aging in place doesn't happen by accident. It's something that people are interested in, but you can't wait for the crisis because then your options become much more limited. And it's similar to that with long-term care planning. You know, you can't get insurance, you can't do certain things once you're in the, you know, in the crisis. So that's really how, how I obtained the mindset of thinking ahead and planning. It relates to long-term care, but it relates to that much bigger picture of just, what do you want your future to look like? How do you plan to age in place?
Now, do you have any upcoming events where you'll be present with some information about the Greater Charleston chapter?
We do. We have a lot of speaking engagements, of course, at throughout the community. One of them is at the Lowcountry Senior Center in March, and we're going to participate in a National Healthcare Decision Day in April that you'll probably be talking about later on the show. We think it's really important to plan not just for aging in place, but for end-of-life issues. So we have gotten behind that event and plan to be there, and we'll have our materials there as well.
I think that event, what I've heard, is April 16th at Charleston Southern University. So listeners, go ahead and save the date for that. It's going to be a very informative discussion, conversation about the importance of advanced medical directives and things like that that we need to think about.
Sure.
So, Barbara, I can't thank you enough for being here today. How exciting that Charleston has embraced this, and we're kind of one of the leaders. I have to give ourselves a pat on the back for taking this movement of aging in place to such a great level, the national level, and bringing it back to our community and helping our neighborhoods and communities do this. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Rebecca. I think, too, we are out ahead, but now that we've stepped up to the national movement, we can take advantage of a lot of what the national has going on, attend their conferences, the public relations aspect, the legislative issues that they're working on, and we can learn best practices from the other chapters and bring a lot more resources to the community. So that's the real benefit to our community of us making this change. So thanks for allowing me to talk about it.
Well, thank you, Barbara. And listeners, again, that website is ageinplace.org. And become part of that national movement, Boomers. And we'll be right back. This is Let's Talk Boomers. I'm your host, Rebecca Imholtz.
Let's Talk Boomers is presented locally by Rick Durkee and the Coastal Financial Planning Group. Deborah Whitfield, 55-plus real estate with Coldwell Banker United Realtors. And Kelly Williams of All Care Living Services.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Let's Talk Boomers. I'm Rebecca Imholtz, and I'm here with Rick Durkee of the Coastal Financial Planning Group. Rick, last week we talked about the different types of acceptable risk in investments as we age. What are the different types of annuities we should consider, particularly as we age?
Well, annuities would be things that can be used to create a pension income for someone. Okay, and so this may not apply to everyone. Annuities, first of all, should be evaluated as to do they accomplish the goal of the financial plan for income during retirement. And if there is a certain amount of income that you would like to create as a pension check that's guaranteed, then an annuity could be used. There are two different types of annuities that can be used to create that income. One is an immediate income annuity that guarantees a payout, just like a pension check would be for your life or perhaps you and your spouse. Or secondly, you could use a deferred annuity, Rebecca, that allows money to grow for a period of time and then start taking income off of it. You can, in some deferred annuities, though, start taking income or withdrawals off of them right away. So you can use the second type of an annuity, a deferred annuity, to create income. And you have two options of either creating a withdrawal, a systematic withdrawal that can create your income check for you, or you can annuitize, as I gave in your first example, and create a pension check guaranteed for your life or perhaps to continue on for a spouse.
Well, that is great information, Rick. And listeners, you can learn about this and many more topics of interest as we get closer to retirement by listening to Rick right here on 94.3 WSC every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. with Money Matters, followed by 9:30 with Retire Right. And you can check out Rick and his team at the Coastal Financial Planning Group by visiting their new and improved website, cfpgroup.biz, or call Rick at 735-5065. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Fellow Boomers, are you worried about managing your loved one's multiple drug therapies, potential medication errors, or adverse side effects? I know I've worried a lot with my mom. Well, Kelly Williams, owner of All Care Living Services, is here to help with their medication management program. Their licensed nurses can review prescription and over-the-counter medications and set them up weekly to provide oversight and peace of mind. Since 1998, All Care Living Services has provided certified in-home care with a heart to ensure you or your loved one's needs are met. Call them at 832-9888 or visit allcarelivingservices.com. This has been another Let's Talk Boomers show. Let's Talk Boomers is presented locally by Rick Durkee and his team at Coastal Financial Planning Group. Deborah Whitfield, 55-plus realtor, a seniors real estate specialist with Coldwell Banker United Realtors, and Kelly Williams of All Care Living Services. I'm your host, Rebecca Imholtz, and I look forward to talking with you next Saturday at 11 a.m. only on News Talk Radio 94.3 WSC.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk Boomers, hosted by Rebecca Imholz. If you have an event you'd like our listeners to know about, please email letstalkboomers@gmail.com, and we'll spotlight it on a future program. Would you like to be a guest on the program or have a topic you'd like Rebecca to cover? Email us at letstalkboomers@gmail.com. Let's Talk Boomers is presented locally by Rick Durkee and the Coastal Financial Planning Group. Deborah Whitfield, 55-plus real estate with Coldwell Banker United Realtors. And Kelly Williams of All Care Living Services. And is heard exclusively on News Radio 94.3 WSC.